heralded the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show hell hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And yes, we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, right next to Area 51. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you, and I'm frustrated. I've got way too many PowerPoints. And the one I want to find, naturally, I can't find it anywhere. It's pretty relevant. And let me tell you where I'm headed today. First of all, I got some good news and some great news. Let me give you the great news first. The great news is that both of my granddaughters are out of the hospital and grandchildren. Because one of them is a boy. And we don't mix genders in our family. But anyway, they're all out of the hospital and doing well. They ran some tests on Gracelyn. You know, she has cerebral palsy. She can eat by mouth, but she doesn't get the nourishment. So there's a feeding tube goes in right by her belly button. And lately she's been tossing that back out, and it's, you know, it gets to the point where the child needs nourishment. So obviously a concern. Appreciate everybody's prayers, and some of you have sent wonderful, amazing gifts to Matthew and Paige, and I appreciate it on their behalf. I appreciate it. And then our daughter Courtney, with little Judah, tragic accident, and she keeps reliving this now, which is hard. It's like even today when I think about being electrocuted, I don't like it. I don't like lightning outside. I go inside. I didn't used to, but I do. It's just a response that you have. And anytime you have had some form of very tragic trauma, it is hard to get that out of your mind. Which is, I mean, we have Vietnam vets, who still react because of what they endured in Vietnam. And that's goes along with the Iraqi veterans, the Middle East things. You know, my heart goes out to you. They come back, and most of them just turn to drugs or drinking or kill themselves. And they need help. They need God, but they need help. And God is always a good help. So just continue to pray for our family, and I just sincerely appreciate it. The lesser of the two good newses is I got an email today from the German production company that is putting together and filming a documentary series on UFOs. And they confirmed in the email today that they are going to film me this summer and have it as part of their documentary. Now, I don't know what direction their documentary is going with it. It doesn't scare me. I'm going to say what the Bible says. And as long as I stick with the Bible, then it's not my words that are taken out of context or not put in the right frame or what have you. They didn't do it to me. It's not my words. They did it to God. And that's what I've been praying for today, is that in that process, that I stick to the Word of God, which is where I'm headed today. I have a pastor friend, and my pastor friends, I don't debate them. I don't argue with them. I don't get into fights with them. I don't call them heretics. Even if they don't agree with me, I don't treat, if my pastor friends or men in the ministry, King James men, then I leave them alone. God's word is God's word. God will do in them what he wants. They don't belong to me. They're not my property to tell them what to believe and what not to believe. And I've had people either calling me or calling some of my pastor friends and trying to start a fight, trying to pick something between us. And I just don't take the bait, and they don't either. We don't have time for that. You don't get it. We're still not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's still not the battle of flesh and blood. It is principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And there is a lot of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in some very high places. And so this particular pastor, again, he's a friend of mine. And if at the end of this broadcast, I have not succeeded in changing his mind, it doesn't matter to me. This man is still my friend. I still love him. I would let him preach here any day. Any day. But he asked when my podcast, what the link was to our programs. So I sent him three links. And I thought about it for a minute. And I sent him a picture. And I have given you some of the background of this particular photograph. It comes to me from a pastor, a King James only pastor, who pastors a fundamental Baptist church around the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And he showed me this, and I went, yep, I know what it is. And because I was preaching at his church that night. And I said, where did you get this? And it was a family member of his that was out in Colorado. This is in Colorado. I can't remember the exact location. But, you know, Colorado is like you see here. It's all flat. And then you hit the Rocky Mountains and you go straight up. And when they took this picture, if you look carefully at this photograph, where my cursor is waving down here, you can see that they took this from an automobile driving down the road because the nearscape is blurry because of the motion, and the far landscape is in focus because it's not moving the way the near landscape is. So this is they were going down the road, it looks like, saw the mountains, that is beautiful, I got to get a picture of this, click on the phone, and then they, after, and I don't know when after or what, but after, they took this picture and they looked at it, probably on a computer or their tablet or their phone, maybe. They see something in the image. Now, I want to go back. I asked a guy that came to visited our church here a few weeks ago, who has spent years in the military. He's an Iraqi veteran, served his country, and he is a trained observer. And I asked him, I said, give me a relative size of this. This thing is obviously beyond the mountains that are in the photograph. The mountains there are big. And I said, just a ballpark, and I don't remember his exact figure, but it was in the hundreds of meters. This is no small thing. This is, and here's my point on this picture. Because I trust the source of it, this man wouldn't lie to me. It's no reason for him to. Now, is every man a liar? Yeah, so am I. We get things wrong. We say things that are not right. We do it. It's in our flesh. And God forgives us. We repent. God punishes us sometimes. And we move on. And we try not to do it again. But it's inherent in our nature. Can we be wrong about things? All of us are wrong. God is the only one who is right about everything. And we're not God. But I know some preachers that think they are. But anyway, that's beside the point. But anyway, there's no reason for me to mistrust this photograph. I have every reason to trust the source on this, that this was not photoshopped. This was not painted in, sketched in somehow, some way, airbrushed or whatever. You can do a lot of things now with computers you couldn't do 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You just couldn't do it. And I do not believe that this is that. I've seen fake UFO videos and fake demon videos. I've seen all kinds of fake videos. Fake giant skeleton pictures. Really? Come on. Okay? I've seen the real pictures. These are fakes, people. They're not real pictures. This does not bear the marks of something being a fake. So when you switch it over, you highlight certain areas, you make it bigger, you see then what it is. It takes a shape. My point is, this is a thing. It is a thing. It is, and let's be reasonable. And the Bible is a reasonable book. It is not a book of fairy tales and myths that we're told to believe with no evidence whatsoever. If God said it, He knows what He said. He knows what He's talking about. He put it in His Word, and we trust this book no matter what. And I'll get to this book, because whether you believe this photograph or not is irrelevant. Believing the scriptures, that's what's relevant. And then, but seeing them also in the light of the days that we're in, this is a thing. It is an object. It is an object in the sky. And let's apply some reasoning here. Let me show you a picture. Okay? Just ponder this for a minute while I sip some tea. This is called the turtle on the fence post. And there are several variants of this, several versions of the story. But it teaches a reasoning lesson, something that you could even use in a court of law. There are some things that just don't have to be proven in a court. Things like 4 plus 4. Things like if the person has 46 X chromosomes, they are a genetic female. Period. At the end. There's just some things you don't have to prove in court. And the idea of a turtle on a fence post is this. When you see a turtle on a fence post, there are certain things that we just absolutely know beyond any reasonable doubt whatsoever. Number one, it didn't get there by itself. We don't argue this. We don't say, now you don't know everything. Let us reason together. Okay? God, and Paul was always reasoning with people in all his letters. What shall we say about these things? Let's hear the summation of this. It's algebraic. It's math. It's 4 plus 4. When you see a turtle on a fence post, number one, you know it didn't get there by itself. Number two, there's no reason for the turtle to put itself or even want to be on the fence post. So the only logical conclusion that you could draw from this photograph is that someone put the turtle on the fence post. Now, there is a minimum chance that an eagle carrying this turtle to in the process of taking off may have dropped the turtle and it just happened to have landed on top of this fence post in this position. It's a possibility. You couldn't rule it out. But to say that the turtle put itself on the fence post didn't happen. And you'll never get anybody to believe that. We're past this on the UFO evidence issue. We got past this a while back. A few years ago, we started moving in that direction. For the first time ever, and I have known my wife's mother and father since 1980, when they started coming here to Bethel. I was 14 in 1980, and they started coming here. Lisa was... Anyway, she was pretty, so... But that's... I've known them that long. And what I know about them is that they come from a generation where you didn't believe... There was no such thing as ghosts, witches, demons, and Martians. And flying saucers, she called it. But I guess they got to talking Sunday afternoon about what I had said about, you know, we might be filming a documentary here come this summer. So just be prepared. It's going to be on this subject. Because I almost never bring this up in the church setting. I've always tried to keep that ministry separate. Just because of the thing that I'm doing at the time. I'm either teaching Sunday school, or I'm preaching an evangelistic message, or I'm teaching, you know, from the scriptures, certain points of doctrine, or going through the books of the Bible. It's things like Pastor Mike Online and Watchman Broadcast and things like that, where I do it. Maybe I go to a prophecy conference and they say, "Will you speak on this?" Okay, I'll speak on that. But they brought it up the first time any one of them has ever said anything to me about UFOs was Sunday afternoon. If you were watching, you saw me and Gloria engaged in a conversation. And she asked me, she said, "Mike, I got to ask you a question." Now, that always scares me a little bit. She says, "Has anybody ever captured one of these, I call them flying saucers?" I said, "Well, let me show you what I know from the Bible." And she said, "That's fair enough." And I gave them the scriptures, and I'm going to show you. I didn't give them all what I'm going to show you today, but I gave them some of the simple points of what is. Here's what we have to do. Let's find out what is biblically possible. Because if you don't believe that that turtle got on that fence post, and the Bible does not give us an account of what these are, then there's no point in me bringing it up, much less spending an hour and a half, 2 hours of my time today to tell you what this is. There's no cause for it. The rule is, if God is silent, we should be too. If God kept his mouth shut on something, we need to keep our mouth shut too. The question of, did Adam have a belly button? God didn't put it in the Word. So who cares? What does it matter? That issue matters nothing. It's not even a question that God brings up anywhere in his Word. And there's enough Bible verses here that if God, there's enough real estate in this book. If God wanted it brought up, it would have been brought up in here.
This is what we believe about our Bibles, that it is the complete record of everything. And God is not giving some guy or some gal in some church somewhere private prophecies. There is no such thing. It's the Bible, or let's go Catholic, shall we? So we have to ask ourselves, is this biblically possible? Number one, in other words, if we believe that Jesus Christ created everything that is, and he didn't create this, he didn't create this, then this doesn't exist. You see my point? If he didn't create this, and he didn't put it in his word, then I'm not going to waste my time with it. Because then somebody, we know somebody took the picture in their computer and they put little dots in there. And they said, UFO. Okay? So, do you know who this guy is? His name is Alexander Crowley. He renamed himself Alistair. I can't remember why. Here's a funny story. Funny in a weird sort of way. Aleister Crowley's parents were, I probably would have been invited maybe to their church to preach. They were, maybe not. They were fundamentalists. They're in Britain, they were of the Plymouth Brethren, which I know is probably Calvinist, but they were of the Plymouth Brethren, and it's a fundamentalist sect of Christianity in, I don't know where it all exists, but that's who they were. They were raising him as a Baptist, almost, is how they were raising young Alexander Crowley. And he hated it. If you've ever heard that his nickname was the Beast, guess who gave him that nickname? It was his mother. His own mother was calling him the Beast by the time he was a teenager, because she could see the direction that he was going in. His family had money, so he had money. And when they died, he inherited a third of the family fortune. So people like that, they don't spend their lives getting an education so they can go out and get a job with it. They spend their lives getting an education on things that are a waste of time, but they're going to do it anyway because he wants to unlock mysteries. And he doesn't want God's help. He wants help from the other team because that's who he plays for. So Crowley is an occultist, and to say that he is an occultist is an understatement. So if anybody ever had contact in our lifetimes with members of the other team, the devils, the gods, the evil angels, the fallen ones, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness. If anybody ever had contact, it was him. And he did. He performed, and I'm not going to describe all the rituals that he did, but they involved women and drugs and all kinds of things. But he was trying to bring forth a being from what he referred to as an interdimensional being. Now explain that. And this is the one that came through the portal that his magic opened up. When he, and the protocol that he was using was called the Alamantra workings or something like that. Some weird word. But anyway, he asked this creature what his name was. And he responded, Lam, L-A-M. And what that is it is a, I think it's a Sanskrit word meaning the way. Do you understand what this thing thinks he is? Jesus said, I am the way. And if I am right, the Dalai Lama, that word Lama, lamb, means the way. The Dalai Lama thinks that he's the way to Nirvana or wherever it is that they go. This devil came and appeared with a cape. Yeah, with a cape, big egg-shaped head, and this you can actually see in this area here where it looks like Crowley was trying to draw these big eyes. Now, I can't say that for sure. But this sure looks like what other people have said that they referred to as aliens. Now, that word is actually in the Bible. And it means literally this. And in this case, since you and I have been born again, our nativity, the land of our birth, is not this world. It is that one. It is Jerusalem above is our mother. God is our father. So, we are, as Paul said, aliens and strangers in this world. We don't belong here. And yes, amen, I'll gladly go. Amen, let's get up the truck and let's go. So, the word alien actually is a biblical word, and it applies. In Hebrews 11, remember that those who had faith in the Old Testament did battle with the armies of the aliens. The Bible says that word. Now, am I saying that they fought Marvin the Martian from Warner Brothers? No. What I'm saying is they fought the things that you and I fight every day, and they are not from here. They were not birthed in Jefferson County, Missouri. They were not birthed in Arkansas, Kansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, or even Canada. Although LA is still questionable. But they didn't come from here. And they don't belong here. This is not, God did not give them this earth. He gave it to us. And if you want to think of a good reason why they are coming here, to me it is obvious. It's biblically obvious. Rule. Take over. These are the gods of the fourth kingdom. Now, I'm going to run through some of this fast because I have just a few pictures that I'm going to show you. This is the guy in 1947 who first reported this word saucer, because the press asked him what he saw, and he said they were skipping through the sky. There was nine of them. He was in a plane around Mount Rainier, Washington, looking for a downed airplane. He was a fire prevention. He was a forest fire salesman guy, and he's flying his private plane around Mount Rainier looking for, and he sees nine of these things, and he said they're skipping across the sky like saucers across the water. Well, then the press took that word and said he saw flying saucers, but he's actually this is Kenneth Arnold. He had an artist draw a sketch of what he saw, and it's more of a planform vehicle than it is a saucer shape. Okay? But that's what he saw. And then, of course, this is the McMinnville photo. McMinnville, Oregon. There's actually, I think, two or three photographs of this saucer. And this, the originals have been examined. Life magazine bought them back in, I think, in the 50s. And they did every test they could to see whether these photographs had been faked, if they were double exposures. Remember, there are no computers back in 1950, so you have to use camera tricks. And there was no, they detected no camera tricks, nothing. There's no wire there, nothing. Okay? So this is a thing in the air that, for now, let's say we don't know what it is, but it's a thing in the air. It's a turtle on a fence post. And the question is, why is it there? What does it want? And what's it doing here? Since we know that nobody that we know of made that. We know that. So why is it here? Where did it come from? And what's it doing? We're going to apply reason and logic instead of just feelings and emotions. Well, I feel it's like this. Okay? Again, the photograph on the bottom here. I mean, it looks like one of those old hats, right? There's actually, this is part of three photographs a guy took from his pickup truck. This looks like the old, this is the south somewhere. I can't remember exactly what it is. That looks like the old Route 66. That looks like a cotton field there. But he took three photographs of this object out from inside of his pickup truck. Again, the photographs have been examined. Tested. You can take photographs like this now and use Photoshop and the different filters in there to detect things that the eye wouldn't see, that the computer would. You could actually, if this was the thing hanging from a string, you could probably still see the string in the photograph to this day. Okay? Up on the upper left-hand corner, a triangular-shaped UFO being seen in a lot of places. The St. Louis Fox News Station, KTVI, in the early 2000s, I think 2003, there was a massive one of these that was flying over western Illinois, just on the other side of the Mississippi River from us. I mean, just over the river from us. And at least four police officers saw it. They had the recordings of them describing this to their dispatch. There is an Air Force base over in Illinois, not too far from there. They called there. Hey, what did you got? What you got flying out here? We ain't got nothing flying out here. The thing never made a sound. And we're talking about people now who are out patrolling and are looking for things that are not right. And they see one of these. The Fox affiliate, KTBI, did a 30-minute news deal on this UFO. Saying, what is it? The one on the bottom, again, a lighted saucer-shaped object. It's in the air. You can almost see a trail coming out of it. Okay? Don't know what it is. The photograph here, a square-shaped. Another saucer-shaped there on the right. Bryce Canyon, Utah. The one on the left says August of 89. There was no Photoshop in 1989. I'm fairly sure. Because I was still using a Commodore 64 in 1989. Okay? I don't think Windows 3.1 had even come out yet in 89. So, that leaves you with a limited number of things that could be in 1989. Somebody threw this up in the air, took 20 photographs of it. This one is the one that turned out the best. Or they have it hanging on a wire or something. Or it's a flying thing up in the air that we don't know where it came from. This, now, you want to get serious? This is serious. The people who have the best toys in the world to play with is the United States military. The photograph on the left is a leaked, classified photograph. It was leaked to filmmaker Jeremy Corbell. He does pretty good research, pretty good work. And he's been on all the talk shows now. He's saying the sad part is that people had to risk their careers and prison time leaking me these photographs when the Pentagon wouldn't release it. The story is, this is recent. There are at least three triangular-shaped UFOs in this picture. There was dozens of them in this event. They followed this ship for days, every night. They would go out and they could see them. They used, it's not the infrared, but it's the night vision that the military has. They use the night vision to, this is someone taking a photograph with their camera or their phone from a monitor that has a camera focused on them using whatever technology they use for night vision, and they're seeing these objects now. They ghosted them for days. One of our Navy ships. Okay? This story here is probably my favorite story because this reason. This primary school, elementary school in Zimbabwe. It was a mixed race school. You had white kids, black kids there, and you had biracial children there. And they're all getting along. There's 100 students at this school. And all of them speak very good English. I'm sure they have a native language, but anyway, most in Africa do. But anyway, all the children were out on the play yard. The teachers had a meeting with the headmaster. So there was a couple of adults from like the cafeteria watching the kids. 62 of the 100 children all told the exact same story. They saw a silvery disc come down from the sky, land in an area outside of their play yard called the bush. They're not allowed to go out there. And 62 of these children see these three little lamb-looking, little child-size humanoids coming out of this disc, this craft. This girl here. The documentary is finally coming out this year. I'm hoping it's out by now. But this young lady here said that when the aliens, the strangers, made eye contact with her, they put images in her mind. Now, is that biblically possible? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast. They were doing this to any child they made eye contact with. They were giving them scenes of the earth burning and apocalyptic terror taking place on planet Earth, and that those children needed to do something to stop what man was doing to the Earth. What does it sound like to you? It sounds like Mother Earth worship, Gaia worship. Sounds like Mystery Babylon has her fingers on this. Because her spirit hates the fact that God gave dominion of this earth to man. And not her boy, Lucifer. Okay? That's biblical. You study Jezebel and Ahab. You find out who got Naboth's vineyard. Who got it? Jezebel did. She got it for who? She got it for Ahab. That's the story. Okay? John Mack from Harvard University came out. He's a psychiatrist, world-renowned psychiatrist. Came out and interviewed these children and asked them on camera what they saw. And they all said the exact same thing. Some of the black children thought that the short little beings were tokoloshes. That is a common African word for devils or goblins in African folklore. And, oh, this is what they look like. Okay? But they're all 62 children. To this day, they're adults now. They're saying the same thing. They're not changing the story. So, you have to really climb some high mountains to put this type of information down and say, I still don't believe it. Okay? And I'm not being adversarial. But they're not lying. Turtle on a fence post. Okay? Let's be reasonable. RAF, this came out, actual newspaper, when they discovered, when the rancher outside, like 60 miles outside of Roswell. Roswell's the closest town to his ranch. When he discovered all of this heaps of rubble in his on his ranch and part of a broken saucer thing, and he reports it to the local sheriff, and the police go out there, and then they call the Roswell Army Air Force, because the Air Force was part of the Army back then. They gave authorization to release the story that a flying saucer had been taken in and captured on a ranch in the Roswell region. The story has it right. It wasn't in Roswell. It was the Roswell area. Closest town to this guy, Matt Brazel, I think was his name. Closest town is Roswell. Okay? And that's where the Army Air Base was. And there was actually, according to what I've read, three of them that crashed. They didn't find one until about 3 years later. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. Again, Army reveals it has flying disc found on a ranch in New Mexico. That was the day after. These stories came out the day after. The day after Roswell is when the Army started swimming backwards and said, no, we didn't. That's the official story. We didn't capture a flying saucer. It was the pieces of a weather balloon. And that's where that phrase comes into play here from this story. They changed their official narrative of what happened the day after Roswell. Somebody up top, communications in 1947 are not what they are now. Somebody in D.C. said, clamp down on this. We don't want the Russians to know what we have. Okay? That's what I think. Now, I struggled with, if I'm right on what I'm saying today, if I'm right on this, if I believe that these are spiritual entities along with their chariots, angels don't crash as far as I'm concerned. Angels don't have accidents like we do. And that bugged me. And I wouldn't say a word about Roswell, New Mexico, 1947, for years because of it. It wasn't until I found out it was biblically possible, and I would say biblically probable. Again, more now, this is your government. And you're saying, okay, who trusts government? Well, you're right. Who trusts them? Because apparently, they've been lying to us now. What is this? 2022? 1947? Some 80 years now? Or better? If we go all the way back to 1941 and the ship that crashed in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and a minister was called to perform last rites on these three bodies and he said they were not human. If we go all the way back to 41, now we're almost, yeah, we're right at 80 years. Okay? So, just now, the government is being forced to deal with this subject. And I'll tell you part of why I think it is. The times we're in. Remember what the Bible said was going to happen. Knowledge shall be increased. Our awareness of our surroundings in the last 100 years has increased geometrically. It wasn't until 1948 that we proved with photographic evidence that the Earth was in fact a ball in space. And it wasn't flat, like some of these people on YouTube say. Actual photographs. What they did was they took Germany's V2 rockets, took the warheads out, put cameras in it, and fired them off, probably out of Roswell Air Base. And for the first time ever, we have photographic evidence of the shape of the Earth. Never been seen before. Now it's seen. So our awareness of our surroundings and the universe that we live in, our knowledge has increased dramatically in the last 100 years as compared to the last 6,000 years, with the exception of what the Bible says. So yeah, our government's been lying to us all along. They're just now here. The bottom story there, footage shows encounter between U.S. Navy jet and an unknown aircraft. Now, that sentence there is 100% accurate. It is a, this is called the gimbal UFO. Let's see, does it have a date on there? I can't remember if this is the 2014 one or the 2004 one. I can't remember. But the gimbal UFO, they've got, this is infrared heat-seeking image from a billion-dollar United States Navy jet. The best toys in the world are capturing this. And the statement is right. Footage shows encounter between U.S. Navy jet and an unknown aircraft. That's what it's saying. It is an unknown aerial phenomenon. That's what the military is calling them now, UAPs. The top story, the government admits it studies UFOs. So about those Area 51 conspiracy theories. So, wait a minute. Project Blue Book, during the 60s and early 70s, was supposed to shut down everybody's idea that the government was investigating UFOs. There was even a TV show back in the early 70s. Some of you might, it was the Jack Webb Show, the guy who did Dragnet and Emergency. It was called Project UFO, and it was named after Project Blue Book, and it featured some of the stories from the Air Force studying stories of UFOs in America. And, you know, it came up with reasons why, like 90% of them were explainable. Six of them possibly could, or 6% possibly. But there's 4% admitted by Blue Book. 4% of all the investigations that we did, we have no idea what it was. But it was a thing. In other words, it was real. If it's real, then Christ made it. And if Christ created it, it has his purpose in it. That's logic. That's reasoning. Because if Christ didn't create it, it doesn't exist. See my point? Okay. Here, Navy pilot. This is David Fravor. Okay, this is 2004. This is the gimbal. Off of San Diego. Actually, no. They've got the wrong picture with the wrong story. This is the gimbal UFO. The one that David Fravor, the Navy pilot in this 2004 encounter off of San Diego, the one that he encountered was called the Tic Tac UFO. That sounds funny, but it was in the shape of a 40 meter long white cylinder Tic Tac. And people ask him, So David, do you believe in UFOs? He said, believe in them. He said, I chased one. What's your story? I mean, he likes to gloat about it. He's now retired. Obviously, there are some things he can't say because he still has classified information in his head, because he was driving, you know, $3 billion hardware around the skies of the United States, patrolling our borders. What he was doing was they were on warfare maneuvers. They had a whole fleet out there, what they call a carrier fleet. They had a carrier and all these warships out there, and they were playing these war games. And he gets a call saying, do you have any live ordnance on you? No, why? He thought maybe it was drug runners coming up from Mexico. They said, go to these vectors. The guy doing the radar, again, $500 million piece of equipment in this guy's lap. He's a trained radar technician. And he's watching these things. The top ceiling of their radar goes up to 80,000 feet. That's when he first noticed them, the radar tech. They drop from 80,000 feet to the water level in less than 1.5 seconds. Nothing falls that fast. You can't drop that fast. You have to be propelled that fast. And even at that, you would be breaking the sound barrier and there would be sonic booms. There was nothing. It's like they were there, but they were not affected by our physics. Now, what does that biblically sound like to you? What does it sound like? It doesn't sound like a piece of machinery from Mars. Now, had they been to Mars? Maybe, I don't know. On the trail of the sea, this was the New York Times. When I was a kid, fascinated by these UFOs, I never saw one that I know of. Maybe me and my dad, we always out fishing one night, I don't know. My mother did. And she didn't tell me until 2 years ago. Because of that generation, during that time, witches and monsters and demons and ghosts and flying saucers, they don't exist. And if you talk about that, you're a lunatic. So nobody talked about it. Nobody said a word. Her and her friend saw one not too far from the house that I first saw the light of day in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 1966. She and her friend, her best friend, they were neighbors, this lake on the inside of the levee, and there was a glowing disc sitting hovering over that water, and they stopped to look at it, and when they did, zip! And it was gone, just like that. I said, did you tell Dad? She said, yeah. What'd Dad do? He accused me of being drunk. Or something like that. So they didn't. I said, did you say anything after that? Never said a word to anybody. That generation didn't talk. This generation is different. And can you see where I'm going with this? This generation is wide, because they've closed the Bible in their minds. They've closed the Bible. They're wide open to everything else but the Bible. So now there's more people in this country that believe in UFOs than believes in God, believe it or not. And that probably include church people. This just came out April. The Pentagon, again, having to release through Freedom of Information Act 1,500 pages of secret documents about shadowy UFO program after a 4-year battle. I have the documents. The program was called OSAP, Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program. Weapon systems. What does the Pentagon, if they're investigating UFOs, why would they be doing it? Why? Two reasons. Two logical reasons. Number one, if they are real and they do not tell us what their intention is, then we must assume that they could be a threat to the United States of America. That's the first logical conclusion. The second one is, if they are real and we can get access to their technology, we will use that technology to make, what does the Pentagon make? Weapons. Am I loony? No, that's the name of the program that they didn't want anybody to know about. For who knows how long, Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program. Here's some of the documents. I've got some of them pulled up. This one, warp drive, dark energy, and the manipulation of extra dimensions. This is what the Pentagon has been researching, and they had to declassify these documents and release them. It's the law. Now, I guarantee you, we're not getting the good stuff. Warp drive. That was that science fiction? No, not anymore. Dark energy. You know what I think that is? The Bible, physicists talk about dark energy and dark matter because they can't see it. We don't have any instrument to detect it, but they say it makes up 80% of the total volume of the whole universe. We just can't see it. We can't detect it. We don't know what it is, but we can see the effects of it. I'll tell you what I think. It's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. The spirit, the wind blows, but you don't see it. But do you see the effects of it? Sure you do. You see the trees moving. You see dust blowing around in the air. Now we see airplanes, we see kites, we see parachutes. We see all kinds of things in the air now. And we know now what that is. That's wind blowing these things around. The Bible talks about the thing that separates God from us. Dark waters. It's like the universe is an ocean. And it's full of living creatures, is it not? Am I wrong on that? No, not. And they can see the motions of the things in the universe. They can detect it, but they don't know what's moving it. Because it's dark. And God always used a barrier to separate himself from us, or we'd be dead. Here's another one. Positron aerospace propulsion. It's Star Trek stuff. The space communication implications of quantum entanglement and non-locality. You know what they're saying in this article? They're saying if we use lasers to communicate to Mars, it'll take 10 minutes. So naturally, we can't communicate with some robot on Mars in real time and ask it to do what we want right at this second. But if they can figure out how to use quantum entanglement, and I'm not going to explain that right now, but they can use quantum entanglement, they can communicate in real time with any point in the universe. Any point in the universe. That's what this article says. Here's this one. Anti-gravity for aerospace application. Anti-gravity. Things that gravity doesn't affect. Doesn't exist that we know of, but yet they're researching it. Here's another one. This will blow your mind. Metamaterials for aerospace applications. You know what metamaterials are? They're material. It's a Pentagon word. For materials that did not come from this planet. Simply put, it is materials that are not made on this earth anywhere. When you read the article, you find out that obviously they have some. They have metamaterials that were not made on this earth. Okay? And they know by the number of electrons. Something like that. Concepts for extracting energy from the quantum vacuum. In other words, from nothing. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like a power that God has. How did God create the universe? From nothing. Okay? So, I mean, this article here, they're talking about alien first contact could destroy religion. And I've said this. It will destroy everybody's view of everything except one group. Those who believe the word of God as the absolute final truth on everything. God said that if it would be possible, they should deceive the very elect. The truly elect is what that means. Not the fake church members, but
But the real saints, God is going to make sure they're not deceived. Okay? And I should have said this at the beginning. You don't have to be a UFO investigator after this. You don't have to be. God made me different. Cut me out of a different chop of wood or whatever. And this has just been where my brain's been all my life. And I never wanted to talk about it. For the very reason that I probably wouldn't get invited back to some churches. And that's happened. I don't get invited back very often. I'm not complaining. Okay? We're all here to do our thing. God has good men doing things that I'm not doing. And I'm not trained to do. I'm not cut out to do it. I'm not for that. And he even has them as King James men believing different things than what I believe. How is that possible? It's just like the members of my body. I got two index fingers in my body, but they're different. They're different from each other. And they don't belong together very often. But we're here to help one another, aren't we? Kissy, kissy, kissy. Eric Von Daniken, I read this book. This is one of the library books I checked out, Chariots of the Gods. And kind of worried my mom a little bit. What is my son reading? And Von Daniken, basically, he grew up a Catholic. He grew up a Catholic. But he revolted. Because he said, I'm reading in the Bible that God has a chariot. If he's God, why does he need a chariot? Now, when I see him, Eric, I'll introduce you to him and I'll ask him. Okay? You may get to him before I do. We'll see. But here's what God said. Here's what God told these men to write down. 2 Samuel 22:11. And he rode. Who rode? God rode upon a cherub. Now, does he have to? No. Neither does Jesus have to come back on silver. Revelation 19. I owe silver. He's coming back on a white horse. That's silver. Okay? He's the Lone Ranger, but he's got 10,000 of his saints with him. That's us, I believe. Does he have to do it that way? No, but it sure looks cool, doesn't it? Okay? It does. And does God care about how things look? Go outside. He put a lot of work into this world. Okay? And he did this one in 6 days. Jesus said, I go to prepare a mansion, or go to prepare a place for you. He's been working on that one for 2,000 years now. Are you kidding me? He cares about how it looks, doesn't he? And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. What kind of wind? Spirit. 1 Chronicles 28:18. When Solomon built the temple, he got the instructions directly from God. Because when he made the most holy place and the pedestal that the Ark of the Covenant was going to sit upon, look at how he did it. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The chariot of the cherubims is how God said to write it down, because that's what it is. God rides a chariot. I have a book called God Rides a Flying Saucer. And it was written by, I think, an Anglican priest who went way off course. Said God was this alien and all this. Anyway, look at your Bible. Psalm 68:17. And I'll let you in on something. Let's read this verse. Let me pull up Blue Letter Bible. So we'll just see if the devil is up to something.
Okay? We'll just see if he's up. Read this verse. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. We just read this one. He rode upon a cherub and did fly and was seen upon the wings of the wind. Cherubs are angels. So God has at least 20,000 and thousands more of chariots that are angels. That's Psalm 68:17. So here's what we'll do. We'll type in Psalm 68:17. That's the King James, and it's going to say what the King James says. Now, if we switch to, let's say, the New Living Testament, and we do this same verse here, Psalm 68:17, in the New Living Testament, surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots, the Lord came from Mount Sinai. It's not the same thing. What about Mr. NIV? Devil, name thyself. Niv. Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 10,000s and thousands of thousands. They changed it. Why do you think they had to change that verse? Why do you think? Okay. Who maketh his angels spirit. So we know they're the spirit realm. And this is what I'm going to explain the way I feel led now in this documentary that's coming up. This is how I'm going to explain it to a world that doesn't. I'm going to pretend they don't know the Bible. And I'm going to say, here's what most of Christianity believes. According to the Bible, there is a realm outside of this world that we would call from the Bible the spirit realm, or the world of angels and devils, good guys and bad guys. And they are from a different dimension than ours. We can't always see them, but they're there. Okay? And they are spirits, and they are made of light or fire. Okay? Can they be seen? Can these chariots of God be seen by men? Open our eyes, Lord. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I would say they're here now. I'd offer them my tea, but they wouldn't drink it. The mountain was full of horses and chariots. They might, though. They drank. They ate Abraham's stuff and had lots. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So there's good angels and good chariots. Bad angels, bad chariots. 2 Kings 2:11. It came to pass. This is how did Elijah get to heaven? How did he get to heaven? See, Elijah's the typology of our rapture. When that day happens, I guarantee you this is how it's going to happen. You may have a completely different cartoon drawn in your mind of how the rapture is going to take place, but I'll show you how the Bible says it's going to take place. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. So what were they? They were the 20,000s or thousands more of God's chariots in waiting in his stall. And he sent one down for Elijah. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now you say, okay, now Mike, it doesn't say that he went up by the chariot. He went up by the whirlwind. Hang on. Look at the next verse here. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. They're the same, aren't they? The Lord will come with fire.
because he's coming with these chariots of fire and horses of fire. You know how I know? Zechariah 6 and Revelation 6. The horse and his rider. The four horsemen are spirits made of fire. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. He's going to throw a third of these fiery angels down to the earth. Is he coming with fire? The flames of fire? Yeah, they're angels. They're devils. Now, here's your Savior describing your rapture in detail. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. Four winds. That number's important. I don't know if I'm going to have time, but that number's important. So far, does it lie within the realm of biblical possibility that there are spirit chariots in the realm above us? Yeah. There, in no uncertain terms does the Bible say this. In no uncertain terms. If you stick with the King James, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. You get out of the King James, that's your first mistake. Just don't let it be your last. Now, Ezekiel came way after Solomon, didn't he? Solomon then made this by inspiration of God. Ezekiel saw it with his own eyes. And I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. The whirlwind and the chariot are part of the same package. You got three verses now that told you that. 2 Kings 2:11, Isaiah 66:15, and Ezekiel 1, 4, and 5. Three witnesses is enough to be reasonable. Okay? And a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself and a brightness was about it. Now, what is it about UFOs and dark and brightness? It's like they don't want to be seen, but they want to be seen. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four. There's that number again. The four winds, the four gospels, four living creatures, four chambers of the heart. They're all interconnected. And this was, and the four devil groups, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Four. If there's four on the good side, there's four on the bad side. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, when he had his dream, he had his astrologers, his Chaldeans, his magicians, and his soothsayers. He had four guys, four groups of guys that were his counselors. And they were all occultists, like Aleister Crowley. They probably talked to Lamb last week, all right? But then you had Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Four on the good side. And who figured out the secret? The four on the bad side? No, they had no clue what was in Nebuchadnezzar's head. The four on the good side did, because they asked God to reveal it to them. And God did. See, when God finally wakes you up, whoever you are, it won't be me that did it. It won't be me. I won't take the credit for it. It'll be just how God woke me up to this Bible. It was God alone. And no man. Okay? I like it that way. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. In other words, humanoid. They four had the face of a man. They had four wings. Two wings were joined to another, and two covered their bodies. So they basically made a box with their wings. The four angels, the four cherubs, made this box, just like the Ark of the Covenant, made this box with this crystal sea on it, and a throne where one, the likeness of the Son of Man sitting on it.
Okay? I'm moving through this fast, but you read Ezekiel 1. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. These chariots, they want to be seen. They are seen. And I have another theory, too. It's just a theory. Because I just read another article this morning about a family in the UK. They took a picture of the daughter took a picture of the ocean as they drove by with her phone. And then now all of a sudden she's looking at the picture and the picture's got a UFO in it. She looks out there. There's no UFO out there. You see, the way they make these cameras now and these phones and these cameras, these professional cameras, they're not made like the human eye. They can see things that we can't see. They can detect things that are there that we can't see with our eyes. Are there things that we can't see with our eyes? Yes. We don't see them every day. Right? Okay. And I think technology is opening up a world to us that we never saw before. And I think it's deliberate. I think it's deliberate. I can't prove it. But anyway, now look at what the creatures did. Remember the guy, the radar guy that said they came from 80,000 feet to sea level in less than 1.5 seconds. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Boom. That fast. They don't follow the rules of our physics, do they? No, they don't, because they're not from this physical plane, spiritual realm, fourth dimension. Okay? Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Dr. Stephen Greer, medical ER doctor, brilliant guy, absolutely possessed of devils. He is leading this movement across America for the government to spill all of its beans about UFOs. And he did the Disclosure Project in 2001. He got a Hollywood actor to come out and be the spokesman. He got all these people from NASA and the military who told about their encounters. There was a guy, and he's still alive. I saw him at MUFON last year. The guy's still, he's telling the story, what happened to him in the 60s. He was at a nuclear base in, I think it was Montana, and a UFO shut down all 10 of their missiles. Shut them down. That has happened multiple times. So, where was I going here? Anyway, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Here's what I was saying. Stephen Greer practices occult rituals, and he actually teaches people how to do it. He goes around the world, and he calls it Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It's human-initiated contact. Now, do you want to know what that is in the Bible? Stephen Greer has a familiar spirit. He's the Witch of Endor, is who he is, because he goes into this metaphysical state. That's west of New York. Anyway, he goes into this metaphysical state and he calls in these UFOs. There are videos of him with a group of people at the beach or out in a forest somewhere on a mountain in the desert, any place where man is not. Think about it. And they all go into this metaphysical trance and they call in these UFOs and they show up on camera, on video camera, video camera. They show up, these big lights way out in the ocean. He's calling them in. You know what he practices? He practices a form of Jewish mysticism called Merkaba. Merkaba. You know what that word means? Chariot. It's the word used in your Hebrew Bible, translated as the word chariot. He literally practices the very form of familiar spiritism that he calls in a very particular particular kind of devil. A living chariot. Living chariot. Because the angels are the chariots. And that's hard to wrap our heads around, but the angels are the chariots. And look at this. The wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. What does that mean? It means that the wheels were as alive as the angels were. And whatever the angels wanted, the wheels responded. And that's part of the working that these occultists like Crowley and Stephen Greer and listen. We had a choice to either go to Roswell. There's a UFO convention in Roswell the first part of July, or go to the Cerebral MUFON convention. I'm staying away from Roswell. Roswell is going to be, and I told this German film crew, because they're going to Roswell, I said, you're going to run into some wacky, weird, fruity people. It was bad enough at MUFON. There was some Baptist preacher there last year that was giving out videos to everybody. What was he thinking? For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now, the reason why they're using this number four all the time in these verses is that the Bible is describing this fourth dimension. And I got to run through this quick. But Paul called it out. He said it's breadth, length, depth, and height. Height was the fourth direction. And we don't know where that is. We can point and say breadth and length and depth. We can do that. We can show three dimensions with our hands. But I can't point to you the fourth direction, the fourth spatial dimension. But I chased that word down, height. Job 22, is not God in the height of heaven? Where is he in relation to us? There's the earth, the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. That's where he is. And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. The stars are in there too. And what are stars? What are they really in the Bible? Angels. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven. The Bible's defining it for you. Heaven is that dimension that they live in. But a third of them is going to get kicked out. So now we're fighting principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual. See the word spirit? Wickedness in high places. There are enemies, brothers and sisters. These things that are taking over the minds and the consciousness of people all over the world. It's not just an American thing. They're everywhere. And they're taking over the minds and the consciousness of people around the world. And we're on the other team, or supposed to be. Now, one thing I know. They found, 1947, man, I don't know how many things happened in 1940. Israel became a nation. Roswell happened. They found these Gnostic texts in Nag Hammadi, Egypt in 1947. And two disciples of Aleister Crowley, they did something too in 1947. I'll have to go back on my research. One of them was Jack Parsons, the head of Jet Propulsion Laboratory, the rocket man. Jack Parsons was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, one of our chief rocket scientists. And he blew himself up in an experiment. Anyway, they find these Greek Gnostic texts in these clay jars in Egypt. They dig them up and they're reading them. And they see this word archon all in them. And archon is the Greek word that's translated in the King James principality. The word archangel, archenemy, comes from the Greek word archon. It means a prince, someone who is in power over you. And this is how the archons are described, according to the Nag Hammadi Gnostic texts. I'll get to the bottom here. That shadow became matter, and that shadow was projected apart, and what she had created became a product in the matter, like an aborted fetus. That's what the Gnostics said that the principalities look like. An aborted fetus. Little pale body, great big head. Travis Walton, 1975, one of the best documented and provable UFO cases in the world. Travis Walton's still alive. He has been lie detected to death. He's taken, I don't know how many lie detector tests. Him and the five guys on his logging crew in Snowflake, Arizona, Travis Walton, they saw a UFO. All six guys saw this UFO. They were headed out of the woods in their King Cab truck. Travis got out. He got zapped. They thought they killed him. His buddies took off. After a mile, they turn around and said, "We got to get Travis." They get out. They look for Travis. Travis is gone. There's no Travis anywhere. They have to go into town now to get the sheriff. And what do you think they told the sheriff? They told him the truth. A flying saucer took Travis. Now, how do you think the sheriff of Snowflake, Arizona, thought about this? Well, they called in the state police. They put lie detector tests on all five of these guys. And all five of them said the same thing, and they all passed, that Travis got taken by a UFO. They sent cadaver dogs. They pounded these guys for 5 days, saying, "Just tell us where you killed him. We'll promise we'll go easy on you guys. We'll give you a deal. Just tell us, end this now. Show us where you buried him." No Travis. 5 days later, Travis Walton finds himself laying on a highway 30 miles from Snowflake, Arizona. He sees the light, walks down to a gas station, makes a phone call, probably collect, to his brother, who was one of the loggers, and said, "It's me, Travis." He thought, Travis Walton thought he'd been gone for a few hours. His buddies show up. "Travis, you've been gone for 5 days. They think we killed you." They hospitalize the man. Here's what Travis Walton said he saw. When he wakes up, he says, "When I woke up, there was a strong..." This is right here in this story. "When I woke up, there was a strong light in my eyes, and I had problems focusing. I thought I was in a hospital. I was lying on a table on my back, and these figures were standing over me. It was weird. They weren't humans. They were creatures. They looked like well-developed fetuses to me." End quote. And he tells the exact... By the way, those are not the only ones he saw. After the little devils go running off, the little fetus-looking, gray, big-headed, egghead guys run off, he finally sees a man in like this tight suit. And he's going, "Oh, good. A human." The guy does... He's got blonde hair, blue eyes, glowing skin. Guy doesn't say a word. There's two guys and a female. Are there female angels? Yeah. Read Zechariah. The story about the two storks. But anyway, they get Travis off the ship. They put something over his face. He breathes in. He passes out. Does the Bible say that there are angels that look like men? Genesis 18, Genesis 19, Luke 1. This is what Steven Spielberg based his vision of Close Encounters of the Third Kind on was the stories he had been fed from whatever sources he got them from. He took real UFO stories and blended them into this movie. And he hired these a local dance school in Mobile, Alabama, is where he shot part of the film. He hired this dance school, and they brought out these 5 and 6 year old girls, put them in these suits with these big egg heads on, and had them dance around like little aliens. Just like the Nag Hammadi text said. Just like Travis said in 1975. Habakkuk, listen to this now. God said he was going to raise up the Chaldeans. Now, you say, okay, got you there, Mike. They're Chaldeans, which means that they're from the land of the Chaldees, right? Let's read the description of them. They're a bitter and hasty nation. They're going to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their horses are swifter than leopards. Now, hold on a second. Leopards and cheetahs are related. And cheetahs are the fastest animals on four legs. No horse can beat a cheetah. Especially when you take his Cheetos. And they are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Now, does that sound like the Chaldeans to you? Nope, it doesn't. God is to go up one level from us. God is telling you that this nation that he created for this purpose, you read the Bible, read the prophecies of the Old Testament. God created them for this purpose. To come and exact his judgment and his wrath upon this earth. Now, what's their plan? By the way, back to this verse. Their chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. He shall come up as clouds. She's talking about an army coming from the north. There's no country in the North Pole. I checked. There's no land up there. God came from the north, remember? Read, study the north, especially in the book of Jeremiah. And think of it as the entrance to the heavenly realm. The portal. What's the only star that doesn't move? The only star that never moves. North Star. Here's their agenda. The sons of God are angels. It is no argument. I can prove it beyond any doubt, beyond any reasonable doubt. I won't say any doubt, any reasonable doubt. Every occurrence of the sons of God in the Old Testament are all angels. Job, three times in Job, two times here in Genesis. They are not of men. Because the females are of men, and God would have said it that way. God is telling you that these sons of God. Let me pull up, I don't think it's in my notes. Psalm 82:6. This is what I showed my mother-in-law. When she asked, okay, how did they crash then? She's pretty blunt about what she says. But I love her. Yeah, Psalm 82. This is what blew it apart for me. It is within the realm now of possibility. Psalm 82. Look at what it says. Jesus actually quoted this verse. He said, I have said, you're gods. Now, the little g means that they're angels or of the angelic realm. which is us when we are resurrected. Okay? We are going to be as the angels in heaven. That's what Jesus said. We're going to be as lights shining in the world. Paul said it that way. So like the stars of heaven. That's what God said about Israel. You should be as the stars of heaven. Right? Angels. So he said, I've said ye are gods. Gods don't die. Right? And all of you are children of the Most High. Who's the Most High? God is. Who are his children? His sons. The gods are the sons of God. Get it? The angelic... Adam was a son of God. Luke 3 tells us that. In plain words. And Adam was the son of God. So, but look at the next verse. But ye shall die like men and fall like who? The princes. Principalities. The archons. What do the archons do? They came to this earth. Why? I'm getting to that. What did they do in Genesis 6? They made a hybrid race, didn't they? They created a hybrid race. Now, Daniel's fourth kingdom is the gods. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And what did Daniel say their secret was? What are they going to do? They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. By the way, the King James is the only Bible in English that says it that way. The other translations destroy that verse too. Think about it. They shall mingle themselves with... What is the seed of men? It's DNA. Let me show you this. I have this book, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. Look at that archon there. That's what the kids at the Ariel Elementary School saw. That's what Travis Walton saw. That's what Betty and Barney Hill saw. That's what Betty Andreessen saw. That's what Whitley Strieber saw. And he had sex with one. Multiple times. And you know what he did before he ever started meeting UFOs in the night? He did transcendental meditation, just like Stephen Greer. He was calling them in. Come on down here. The central focus of the alien abduction program is, according to David Jacobs, who has written books on this, he's talk to abductees or whatever, the collection of human eggs and, I'm going to say the word seed. He, like his mentor, the New York artist and abduction phenomenon authority, Bud Hopkins, I have his books too, supports the most sinister explanation for the aliens' presence among us. They are, as Hopkins wrote in his book, Intruders, engaged in an ongoing genetic study, and the human species itself is the subject of a breeding experiment. One of the purposes for which UFOs travel to Earth is to abduct humans to help aliens produce other beings. Jacobs wrote in Secret Life. It is not a program of reproduction, but one of production. Now match that with, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, after the flood, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. Now, Colonel Philip Corso, I don't have time to get into this. He wrote a book the day after Roswell. He saw the beings dead in these little coffins. They were shipping them up to Wright-Patterson Field. He worked with the technology recovered from Roswell. And he writes it in the book the day after Roswell. Not some nut, World War II decorated veteran. The guy was intelligent. Okay? Now, the main objection to this is, I thought spirits didn't have bodies. Genesis 18 says they do. Genesis 19 says they do. And what did the men of Sodom want to do to the two angels? Know them. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, it nails it for you. It not only tells you that they have bodies, but it tells you that they have DNA. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed is DNA, his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, count them, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies. Celestial means heaven. And bodies terrestrial. Terrestrial means earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. One is iron and one is clay. And they don't stick together, do they? So they're going to try this to mingle themselves with the seed of men. But iron cannot be mingled with clay. And what happens? It's going to fall apart. That's how we know the devil's plan will not work. It will not succeed. Because it's standing on, the whole image that Nebuchadnezzar saw is standing on its weakest part. And what is its weakest part? Humans. Clay. And all the stone that was cut without hands has to do is target the feet, the 10 toes, the law. And once he hits those, the whole thing turns to dust. And it's over. Forever, it's over. That's the plan. I've put my name on this. I've put my reputation on this. I'm going to put my image to this. This summer, if God continues to work it out, if he opens this door, I'm going to walk in it. For good or bad, I serve at the pleasure of the Most High God. And if he opens the door, I'm going to walk in it. We'll see how it turns out. Okay? You pray about it. Don't make any choice based upon anything I said. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I love you. I love you. Y'all are my friends. Okay? And I want to keep you as my friends. You can think of me as the weird guy, the UFO pastor. I'm not going to hide that anymore. I'm out, baby! Okay? It's within the realm of biblical possibility. Now you have to ask, is it probable? If Jesus made it, he made it for a reason. I love you. We'll see you.